Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter number 17 this morning. I want to give you a thought out of here. With the help of the Lord today, I was going to Isaiah, and last night I laid down, and whenever I laid down, I don't know about you, but sometimes that whenever I lay down, I begin to pray. And I was just praying about the service today and what God's will was for the service today. And God knew who would be here and who wouldn't be here. And I was just praying for the Lord's will for the service. And man, just all of a sudden, the Lord just completely changed my direction. And I like when He does that, but I don't like when He does that. And you say, what do you mean by that? I'm a structured person. I'm a scheduled person. I like to know how things is going to go. And when the Lord does that, man, it just throws a whole wrench in the plans, if you understand what I'm saying there. And through the night last night, I tried to sleep a little bit. And I don't know if this comes with age or what, but the older I get, the less that I sleep. And I tried to sleep a little bit, man, but I just tossed and I tumbled and ended up getting up this morning. And I wrote a few things down. I've used this title before in this scripture before, but I've never used what I'm going to say this morning. I've never preached it this way. I've preached on David killing Goliath, and I've preached on him cutting his head off before, but I want to give you a few little thoughts here. Father, you know the need of the service today, and God, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd use us for just a little while this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd breathe on us today. God, you know who's here lost. You know who's here saved. You know who's here out of your will. And God, I pray, Lord, today, God, that you would meet with us as only you can, and God, that those that are lost would be saved, and those that's out of your will, God, would be brought back to you. And Father, even if there's those here, Father, that's as close to you as they've ever been, God, may we still glean something from your word today, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I know I normally have you to stand, but I'm going to jump around some in the text this morning and make some statements as I read, so I'll just let you remain seated this morning. When you come to 1 Samuel chapter number 17, just for the sake of time, you'll find that instead of reading the whole chapter to you, it's a lengthy chapter. You'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter number 17 that there is a man by the name of Goliath that we're introduced to. Goliath was a giant in that day. Matter of fact, probably some around 9 or 10 feet tall. He was a big old boy, if you want to say it that way. He'd even make Graydon sit back there look like a little bitty boy. He was a big youngin', amen. And Goliath was a man that was very experienced in war. Goliath was a mighty warrior. Matter of fact, he was probably, whenever you study this out, he was probably the Philistines' greatest warrior that they had. And they end up coming up against the nation of Israel, and they begin to argue with the nation of Israel. And they're wanting to battle. They're wanting to go into war with the nation of Israel. And you'll find in studying this that those of the nation of Israel are setting back cowardly and they're afraid of Goliath. Now, just time out for a minute. Before we criticize them, let's think about it just a minute. If I was going to have to go fight a man that was 10 feet tall practically and was a very experienced man in battle, I would probably think a little bit about it too. But Goliath begins to defy God and practically to curse the God of Israel, and the children of Israel continue to sit back and to watch him do that. As we read on in the story, we'll find that David's brothers are there, and you'll find that in studying this that David's father sends him to give his brother something to eat there on the battlefield that day. David gets there, and I know you may know the story, but some sitting here may not. David gets there that day, and whenever he gets there, he sees what the Philistines are doing, and he sees what Goliath is doing, and how Goliath, whenever you study it out, Goliath, excuse me, is raising up against God and the children of Israel. They're setting back. They're not doing nothing. And here, a young man, probably around 15 or 16 years old, says, you know what? I'll go fight Goliath. If nobody else is going to do it, if everybody else is going to be a coward, if everybody else is just going to sit still, I'm going to face Goliath myself. Well, his brothers laugh at him and tell him, no, you can't do that. And he ends up going before Saul, which was the king, and he says, hey, look, I'm going to face Goliath. And he says, well, who are you to go face Goliath? And he said, well, let me tell you about a time that I was keeping my father's sheep. And while I was doing that, there was a lion came up against me. And according to the Bible, David defeated that lion that day. And I believe that. He killed the lion that day. He said there was another time that I was tending to my father's sheep and taking care of them. And while I was doing that, there was a bear came up against me. He said, when that bear came up against me, you know what I'd done? God gave me the ability to kill that bear that day and overtake that bear that day. And if God was able to deliver me out of the hand of a lion and out of the hand of a bear, then God is able to deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. Well, Saul says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I'm going to put my armor on you and I'm going to let you go to the battlefield. So he puts his armor on him, and David, after Saul's armor is put on him, he looks at him and he says, now this is not all verbatim, just stay with me. This don't fit me. I've not earned this. He takes it off and says, I'm not wearing your armor to the battlefield. And he takes what he has proven, a sling and some rocks. He knew that he could use that and goes to the battlefield. David gets to the battlefield with Goliath that day and walks out in front of the battlefield that day. And he approaches Goliath, and Goliath laughs at him and says, is this all Israel has to offer? Is this who you send to fight with me, some young boy? And here's what David says. Again, I'm not reading it verbatimly. David says, you come to me with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. This God that I serve will give you to me today. I will kill you today. And you that knows the Bible knows the story. David takes his sling and his rock and runs towards Goliath. Runs towards Goliath. And whenever he gets close to him, he takes his, not his slingshot like we know today. It was a sling. In other words, it was probably two pieces of something, two pieces of rope and a piece of leather in the middle, and they would put the rock in it and they would actually sling it around their head like this, and then they would let one end of it go, and David, man, was deadly with that sling. He slings that thing around his head like a man fixing to rope a cow. Lets go of it. The rock comes out of it, flies to Goliath, hits him, and he falls down dead upon the ground that day. God gives David the victory over Goliath. Now, David decides this. I'm going to look with me, 1 Samuel 17, verse number 51. Here's why I want to call my text from today. The Bible said this, therefore David ran, verse 51 of chapter 17, and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof. Whose sword? Goliath's sword. David didn't have a sword. He kills him and he takes his own sword. The Bible said, the sheath thereof, and slew him. Now watch what he says. And cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Whenever you study Goliath's life out, I was reading back through this again early this morning, and whenever you study Goliath's life out, you actually, his lineage and his heritage takes us back approximately 400 years. It's in a book called Joshua this morning. And in the book of Joshua, we know that Moses dies off the scene. God uses Joshua to lead the children of Israel into Canaan's land. And whenever they go into Canaan's land, they're supposed to destroy the enemy. but they ended up not destroying all of the enemy. See, he's Goliath of Gath. There was an Anakim. And whenever you study his lineage out, he ends up coming, when you look all the way back, he ends up coming out of Canaan's land and out of the lineage of the Anakims, and he's Goliath of Gath. You say, why does that make any difference? Here's the reason why. If the children of Israel would have done what they were supposed to do at the very beginning, then 400 years later, they wouldn't be battling this giant again. Here's what we have so many times in our life. We have giants that we just want to play with. We have giants that we really don't want to destroy. You see, David said this, I'm going to make sure he's dead. I'm going to make sure that I don't have to worry about Goliath getting back up and bothering me again. See what he done? He took the sword and he cut his head off. Hear me and hear me well. If your head's cut off, hoss, you ain't gonna do nothing. I believe he died before he ever hit the ground. But just in case he wasn't dead, David said, I'm gonna make sure he's dead. I'm gonna cut his head off. And I'm gonna preach on this thought for just a few minutes this morning. What is the Goliath in your life that needs its head cut off? What is the Goliath in your life that needs its head cut off? You know, a lot of times we come into church on Sunday morning. Somebody say, amen, we're in church on Sunday morning. And a lot of times we come in and us as preachers, we may have our suits on and our ties on. And you may be dressed nice this morning, but hear me and hear me well. A lot of times there is quote unquote demons inside of us that rears their head up. And the only way we can get rid of that is by destroying it. If you don't destroy what's fixing to destroy you, it will destroy you. There's been many homes that's been destroyed because Goliath was not dealt with appropriately. The only way you're ever going to get victory over Goliath in your life is by cutting its head off. It's by cutting its head off. I don't have a phone in my pocket this morning. I just leave it in the office whenever I come over here to the sanctuary. But I can practically do everything from my phone or the same thing that my phone does, I can do right here on my tablet. So today, somebody give me a phone. Don't nobody say you don't have a phone this morning. Who got a phone? Landon, you got a phone in your pocket? I'm not going to look at it, okay? All right. I'm going to try here. All right, let's everybody smile. We're going to take a picture for Landon this morning. Here we go. One, two, three. All right. Now, I'm going to try my best to keep the back. It's nothing bad. It says I did it. And it's a picture of Joe Biden, and I think it's hilarious. But anyway, I think it's great. Scotty, you're doing a good job, man. I'm proud of you. Come back. Let's preach this morning. There is so much right here now. So much. And I'm just going to say this. Don't nobody get mad at me because I used to be as guilty. I've asked the Lord to help me with this. But you know, Brother Lord, a lot of times you can't even sit down and have a meal with anybody because it's this. How's your day been? Hey, how's your day been? Hey, I'm talking to you. Pick your head up. How's your day been? Oh, it's been okay. Come on, somebody help me. We have become so attached to this today. And everything in the world is at our disposal now. Everything. Our kids can see anything. And the sad thing about this, we can put all the blockers that we want to on them. More than likely, your kid's smarter than you are on that. Let me tell you the reason why. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble right here. y'all ain't got little kids no more, and these weren't around when y'all had little kids. But here's the reason why our kids are so much smarter a lot of times than we are on this, because the generation behind us, this is what they use for a babysitter. When they're screaming, instead of telling them something to do or giving them a toy to play with, or God forbid that you talk to them yourself. Here, just watch Mickey Mouse. And they learn. All they have to do is do this, this, and this, and all of a sudden, all this is unlocked. They can get past. We can try our best to hide it any way we want to. We can try our best to block anything that we want to, but you hear me and hear me well. Where there's a will, there's a way. There's so many apps now that everything's gone as soon as you send it. And let me just back up, and I think Brother Jonathan will give me a witness on this. Let me just back up and clarify something right there. It's still there. You can still get it. It can still be unlocked, just so you know, okay? So don't say nobody ever told you. All right. But we've put so much in front of our young people now. Something that men or women used to battle an addiction called pornography. They had to hide. They had to get a magazine. They had to run somewhere else. But now all they have to do is pick up a device. Pick up a device, and all these little giants, all of a sudden, Goliath's popping his head up here and popping his head up there. Hear me and hear me well. You need to destroy Goliath. You need to cut Goliath's head off. You need to get rid of Goliath. You need to take care of Goliath, or Goliath's going to take care of you. Can I just say this to you today? I'd rather go back to wearing an RCS pager. That's how old I am. And letting somebody send me a number on it, and Miss Vicky finding a payphone somewhere and putting a quarter in the payphone and calling them. If that's what it took to save my family, if that's what it took to save my mind, whatever Goliath is in your life, if you don't cut his head off, he'll destroy you. Let me show you four Goliaths that needs their head cut off. I'm going to preach quick. Number one, the giant of reason. The giant of reason. The Bible said this in Genesis chapter number 3. I'm not going to take time to go there. But in Genesis chapter number 3, it opens up. We're introduced to Satan for the first time, his most subtle beast of the field. The serpent had lent his body to Satan. Satan was speaking through the serpent. And watch this. Some of the first words he says is this: "Yea, hath God said." Satan never said this. God didn't say that. He just said, "Yea, hath God said." You know what Satan does right there? Satan begins his very first tactic is causing you to doubt the words of God. Listen to what the Bible said in Psalms 119:89. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Hear me and hear me well. Our Bible is not up for debate today. I saw not long ago a preacher had a debate on a platform and packed his church out on a Saturday morning to debate the Bible. The Bible is not up for debate today. It's not up for us talking about whether we agree with it or we don't agree with it. Forever the Word of God is settled in heaven. The Word of God is the final authority. What you and I will be judged by one day is the Word of God. What we live our life by is the Word of God. What we raise our children by is the Word of God. What speaks to me when I'm in trouble is the Word of God. What convicts me when I'm wrong is the Word of God. It's not up for reasoning today. It's the final authority. We need to cut the giant's head off of reason today. Well, preacher, I think, I'm just going to say this. There's so many topics today
in the realm of fundamentalism and independent Baptists of this and of that and of this and of that. Here's what Brother Stennett Blue said. What the Bible says it means, and it means what it says. It's time that we take the Bible literally today. The Bible said that if you die lost without God, you're going to go to hell. The Bible said that if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart, He'll save you and you can have a home in heaven. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. And it's not up for debate today. It's time that we cut the giant's head of reasoning off. Well, preacher, I just don't know if it really means that. I remember years ago, I went to school. I know y'all don't believe that, but I did. I went to school, and I went to a school called Boonville Christian Academy. Brother Don Fellows, he actually lives here in Mount Airy. Brother Don Fellows was the principal of the great Boonville Christian Academy when I was in high school. And there would be times, for some reason, that he would want me to come see him. I mean, at least once a day, usually, I got to go see him. He was mentoring me. I was shadowing him. That's it. I was shadowing him. And he would say something like this, why did you do that? And I'd just look at him. And I'll never forget one day he looked at me and he said this. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm fixing to say. When in doubt, play safe. I said, do what? He said, when in doubt, play safe. You know, there's probably not hardly a day of my life since then that I hadn't thought about that. When it comes to the scripture, when in doubt, play safe. You err on the way on this side of caution of it. It's not up for reasoning today. Number one, the giant of reason. But number two, watch this, the giant of rebellion needs its head cut off. Rebellion is killing our young people today. And the problem is this today, the reason such a rebellious generation has come up is because we've allowed them to. Did you catch that? Hitler said, give them to me, give me a child till he's five and I'll have him the rest of my life. We've allowed them to. Brother Wade, I'm going to tell you, I didn't talk to my mom and daddy like this generation does today. And I'm going to tell you right now, my youngins ain't going to talk to me like this generation talks to their mom and daddy today. Matter of fact, and I'll just call her out. Madeline smarted off a little bit the other day. And buddy, she's 20 years old, but she lives in my house. She eats the food that I pay for. Somebody say amen right there. I still pay the insurance on her car. Amen. And I looked at her and I said, you can drop that attitude and you can drop it right now, hoss. You say, what'd she do? She dropped it. Then I went in the bathroom and got some deodorant. And I walked out there and started spraying it. And I said, everybody's attitude's stinking, so we're going to put some deodorant on it today. Rebellion is raging today. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I'm telling you, man, we better teach this generation that rebellion is wrong. Why do you think everybody, a bunch of morons, will stand in the middle of a street when vehicles are coming down through it and try to stop it? I'm just going to tell you, you get in the interstate in front of me and try to stop me, one of two things is going to happen. You going to move or you going to move. Why? It's because it's such a rebellious generation. Why is it a rebellious generation? Because we've let them reason with everything. You remember the story, rebellion. You remember the story in Genesis chapter number 4? Cain and Abel. God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That sacrifice had to be a blood sacrifice, and they brought their sacrifice, and Cain came and brought the fruit of the ground, and God was displeased with it. And God, whenever you study it out, God said, if you'll bring, and I'm not quoting it verbatim, you go home and read, if you'll bring the right thing, your countenance won't be wrong. Hey, what was the problem? Cain, right then, in the very beginning, was rebellious. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter number 19. You remember the story in Genesis chapter number 19? God's fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he tells Lot to get his family and get them out. And then he says this, and don't look back. When they started out, Lot's wife looked back, and immediately she turned into a pillar of salt. Can I say this? I believe that that really happened. What caused that? It was rebellion. What causes a person to not get saved? Rebellion. Rebellion. Preacher, what giants needs their head cut off? Well, I would say this, the giant of rebellion. I would say this, the giant of reasoning. But I would say this, the giant of running. The giant of running. You remember the story in John, and I know I usually preach expository, but I'm just giving you a simple thought the Lord gave me. You remember the story in Jonah chapter number 1. I believe Jonah was a saved man. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah flees to Tarshish and he goes and finds a boat and he pays the fare thereof. And can I say this? Sin always has a price. Let me say it again. Sin always has a price. It'll always cost you if you do wrong. Pays the fare thereof. Jonah runs. He runs from the presence of God because the Bible said he went out from the presence of God. He runs from the plan of God because God wanted him in Nineveh preaching the gospel. And he runs from the people that God was going to use him to give the gospel to. He was running. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you running from? What are you running from? What are you deciding? You know what? If I stop this, this, and this, then God won't make me do this, this, and this. What are you running from? Leslie and I was coming up the road yesterday. We were talking, it was yesterday, or I guess it was, I don't know, sometime. I guess it was yesterday. We went to see Miss Mildred. Boy, she was having a good day yesterday. She said, tell everybody hello. She was smiling and laughing. Anyway, we was coming up the road and we was talking about missions. We was talking about our big day, December the 2nd. And man, I'm telling you, that's going to be a phenomenal day. We was talking about that and the missionaries we've got lined up to come in. And we was talking about our girls growing up and Madeline's planning the trip to Guyana in July to do a medical missions trip after she graduates that she wants to do. And we was talking about that and we was just talking about reaching the world. And I said, you know what I said? We was talking about Brother Brian and Miss Chris Baggett, and which we support them here. And we was talking about that. And I said, wouldn't it be amazing if God would let us one day travel the world and go into just little churches that's hurting and just love on them and try to help them and maybe even go to Durka Durka Stand. Fill in for a missionary to come home for 2 or 3 weeks if he needed to or just whatever. She said, yes. She said, you know what I want? I said, what's that? She said, I just want to be in the center of God's will. And I said, you know what? I think I like that too, honey. Just being in the center of God's will. What are you running from today? Maybe there's a man here today that fits the qualifications of a preacher. Boy, God's been pounding on you that you need to start preaching, that you need to surrender all to Him. Hear me and hear me well. It's not going to get any better till you do that. You need to cut the giant's head off and quit running. I'll give you one more. We'll go home. You need to cut the giant's head off of rejection. Rejection. You remember the story, you care to come start playing softly, Matthew chapter number 27. In Matthew chapter number 27, they're crucifying Christ. They've got him on trial. Pilate has said, I find no fault in him. And as he says that, the people standing there that day, and they begin to cry out the more, crucify, crucify. Crucify. Pilate said, this man's done nothing wrong. Crucify. And he hadn't done anything wrong. Crucify. And here's what one cried out, or not one, the crowd that day. Let his blood be on us and our children. I believe that they sent a whole generation to hell right there. Let his blood be on us and our children. And what they were saying, this, we're choosing for our family, we're going to reject God. Do you hear what I just said? They said, we're choosing for our family, we're going to reject God. The giant of rejection needs its head cut off. You've rejected and rejected. You say, preacher, I'm not really rejecting God. I'm going to make things right with God one day. Then you're rejecting God. At that moment, you're rejecting Him. At that moment, you're saying, let His blood be on me. You're rejecting a holy God. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do in your life. You need to cut that head off of that giant called rejection. I could tell you story after story, and I'm sure other preachers could too, of people that was predominant in their family getting saved, and then watching a spiral effect, Brother D.C., in their family take place. Kids start getting saved. They've got grandkids. See, grandkids start getting saved. And boy, God start changing a family lineage. Why? Because somebody decided they's going to quit rejecting. They's going to quit rejecting. One day, you will reject Him your final time. One day, you will reject God your final time. The Bible said this, no man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit which I have sent him draw him unto me. I'm not quoting it verbatim. What God's saying is this, you're not going to get saved anytime you want to. The only way you'll get saved is if the Spirit of God's drawing you. Somebody give me a witness right there. If the Spirit of God's drawing you to salvation. And I believe in all of my heart, there comes a time when God's done dealing with somebody. We can send away our day of grace. We can send away our day of grace. I ask you a question today. Are you rejecting Him? If you are, when are you going to stop? If God's speaking to your heart right now, let me tell you what you better do. I'm not trying to be rude, and I'm not trying to be arrogant, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I'm just telling you facts. I'm telling you what you better do. You better find your place in an altar and confess your sins for Christ and ask God to come into your heart and save you. And I promise you, based on the authority of this good word right here, that God will do that very thing. He will save you. You know, the truth of the matter is this. My mom and dad is not as young as they once was. And the truth of the matter is this, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law is not as young as they once was. And the day will come, Brother Kevin, unless God comes back first or He takes me home first, that I'm going to have to walk down that road of planting, not burying. You bury something, you don't have no intentions of it ever coming back up. You plant something that you have intentions of it. We didn't bury Miss Kay, we planted her. Let me tell you the reason why. Because she getting back up one day. Amen. The day will come that I will have to plant my mom and dad and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. But can I tell you something? I also have the blessed hope, as Brother Wade just testified, that when I do, that that's not the end. Matter of fact, it'll just be the beginning for them. Amen. And I have the hope that one day I'll step over Des Chilling's waters onto the streets of gold by the gates of pearl, and I'll see he who died for me. Somebody say amen. And I have the hope of seeing my loved ones again. You keep rejecting God, and all that hope may be gone for you one day. So preach what I need to do. You need to cut that giant's head off. David said, this old boy's bothered us before. He ain't going to bother us no more. It's over with starting today, buddy. I'm going to make sure I take care of you. Are you running this morning? Are you reasoning with the Bible? I know I preached on rebellion. A lot of times we talk about young people. Honey, that goes way, 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 way further than young people.